Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke.
Oh, I have no feelings one way or the other, Mr. Meeks.
That's just a kind way of saying you don't like me.
I don't like where we are.
So that's what you think, that we're lost?
I'd say that seems about the right word for it.
We're not lost. We're not lost, we're just finding our way.
I certainly hope so.
We're gonna make it all right.
Oh, you don't need to patronize me, Mr. Meek.
Well, now, I think you're flirting with me, ma'am.
You don't know much about women, do you, Stephen Meek?
That was Bruce Greenwood and Michelle Williams in a scene from Kelly Reichardt's new movie, Meek's Cutoff. The film is set in 1845, and a wagon train of three families hires Stephen Meek to help them navigate the Oregon Trail. Claiming to know a shortcut, Meek, portrayed by a grisly, almost unrecognizable Bruce Greenwood, leads the group on an unmarked path, only to become lost in the desert. The film manages to be both beautifully sparse and expansive, and the New York Times called it a revelation of a film, bracingly original. Meek's Cutoff begins screening at Spectrum 8 Theaters in Albany on June 10th. Bruce Greenwood's other film credits include The Sweet Hereafter, Capote, Being Julia, Mao's Last Dancer, Star Trek, and many other varied titles. On TV, he was seen in John from Cincinnati, St. Elsewhere, The Larry Sanders Show, and Nowhere Man. He's a talented actor, and he joins us now. Bruce Greenwood, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks for having me.
How did you become aware of and join the cast of Meek's Cutoff?
I'd done a movie with Todd Haynes called I'm Not There.
Mm-hmm.
The story with Kate Blanchett about Bob Dylan.
That's right.
And Michelle was in that, and Todd and I became friends, and he was also a producer of Meek's Cutoff because he's good pals with Kelly Reichardt and has been involved in her films for quite a long time in one way or another. So he called me and asked me if, he said, I think there might be something of interest for you here. And so he sent me the script, and I liked it, and I called Kelly, and I said, wow, this sounds fantastic. Would you be interested in using me? And she said, well, let's have a meeting, and we did, and off we went.
Had you seen Kelly Reichardt's previous films?
Yeah, and I've been a fan of hers for a long time, and this is a somewhat a larger production than she'd ever dealt with before.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was still that kind of spare, sort of bare bones feel to it, you know.
Spare is exactly the word that I would use,
yeah.
Or sparse. It's so sparse, both in setting, which is vast, with a lot to see, but also nothing to see.
Mm-hmm.
And there's long stretches without dialogue. Can you tell us about the experience shooting the film?
It's haiku, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's this very elegiac poem that gives you lots of time to reflect. And it's more visual than it is oral, but it's incredibly emotional as a result, strangely.
Your filmography reads with what I think is a really healthy mix of big budget films and smaller independent films. How do you choose the projects you're going to tackle?
First of all, I like to work.
So how silly of you.
I'm more likely to take, you know, if I haven't worked for a while, I'm more likely to take virtually anything. But I do like to mix it up and do small little, you know, for lack of a better word, small little pictures, but interesting stuff that wouldn't normally, you know, enjoy sort of widespread support just because it's challenging or interesting. But of course, you don't get paid for that kind of thing. So
right.
And then occasionally you try and do something that's going to be seen by a broader audience. So you can, so you can pay the mortgage. I should excuse myself this morning because I was screaming as a cartoon character yesterday, so that's why I sound like I'm 400 years old. It was one of those weird things where I was doing the screaming, this line, I came back for you. And the third time it just went beep, and I was going, I came back for you. And the producer sort of looking at me going, Jesus, I'm glad we saved that to last. But anyway, so that's why I sound like I've got a broken glass in my throat.
I think that you think you sound worse than you actually do sound, because you can feel what your throat feels like.
I can indeed. It does feel a bit like sort of chipped ice.
I did want to ask you about your voiceover work. What do you like in particular about doing cartoons and audiobooks?
It's just a really different discipline because you have to do everything vocally, whereas when you're doing something on film, you know, you can deliver subtext with a look, and when it's on just oral, you have to modulate a lot more And I'm getting to it, but I have tremendous respect for the people that do it a lot. It's when you get in the booth with guys who really know what they're doing, it's shocking how evocative they can make a line reading, and it's I'm just amazed by some of the guys and girls.
You've started acting, as many actors do, on stage. Mm-hmm. How often do you get to return to the theater?
Not as nearly as often as I'd like. A lot of times it takes, you have to commit sort of 3 and 4 months to it, and, it's not so easy to find that time. I'd say every 5 years or so, every 6 years. I do get up on stage and sing more regularly than that, but that's fun for me. I'm not sure how fun it is for the audience.
I'm sure it's great. In your creative development, what came first, music or acting?
They both kind of emerged at the same time, really. When I was in my early 20s, I was at university and casting around for something to do, and sort of a direction to put all my energy in. And I took an acting class because I just thought it'd be interesting. And sort of at the same time, I became involved with a bunch of musicians. So they virtually were concurrent, but the acting actually paid the rent. So that's what I did.
Your parents weren't in the creative arts, at least not actively in their careers. They were your mother, according to the internet. So obviously, correct me if I'm wrong.
take a step back there.
Right. And your mother was a nurse, and your father was a geophysicist and teacher. Is mm-hmm. that true? Okay.
Yeah.
Did they always support your acting career?
Pretty much. I mean, it's what can you do when your 22-year-old son says, "I'm going to be an actor"? You say, "Well, good luck."
Sure.
But it's funny you say my dad was a scientist and still is, but it was an incredibly creative household. Scientists are very, very creative people. My mom's very creative, very musical. So, so I would always sort of laugh to myself when people say, "Oh, so you grew up with a scientist and a mom who was a nurse after you guys left high school," and they're not very creative. It's on the contrary, just massively creative.
Your roles have included President John F. Kennedy and the Beach Boys drummer Dennis Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
When you take on roles where you play someone who really existed, how does your approach have to differ from when you're creating the character, when it's a fictional character?
Well, you have the luxury of all the research that's available. But, of course, that's it becomes a hurdle as well, because people have expectations because they have access to the same research. But, I spent a lot of time reading with the Beach Boys, reading, listening, talking to people who knew Dennis, talking to people who know the guys in the band, and the same with playing Kennedy. I read just voluminous amounts and listened to a lot of tape, watched a lot of video, and talked to people who'd been there.
You played Captain Christopher Pike in the J.J. Abrams-directed Star Trek film that was released in 2009. Were you a fan of the Star Trek franchise before joining that cast?
I wasn't deeply familiar with it, no, I wasn't, and I was just ignorant. It wasn't that I wasn't sort of actively non-fan. I was just ignorant of how wonderful they were, so particularly the original series. And when I did my homework on that, I kind of went, "Oh, my gosh, this is really going to be fun." And it turned out to be just one of the best experiences of my life.
Enlist in Starfleet.
Enlist?
You guys must be way down in your recruiting quota for the month.
And if you're half the man your father was, Jim, Starfleet could use you. You can be an officer in 4 years. You can have your own ship in 8. You understand what the Federation is, don't you? It's important. It's a peacekeeping and humanitarian armada.
We done?
I'm done. Riverside Shipyard. Shuttle for new recruits leaves tomorrow, 0800. Your father was captain of a starship for 12 minutes. He saved 800 lives, including your mother's and yours. I dare you to do better.
I sound like I'm just reading straight from your filmography, but that's kind of what happens here. Another role that you played that I wanted to ask you about was Roger Bingham on a few episodes of The Larry Sanders Show.
Mm-hmm.
That show is looked upon as one of the most perfect television comedies in the history of the medium. Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy working with those guys?
Oh, yeah. God, just watching those guys on the floor was deeply funny, so dry and so quick. That was a real education.
Let's move on to something more pressing. Let's spend a moment with the budget.
Our testing's showing we need more money.
Look, I'm really a fan. Give me a couple days,
and I'll do what I can with the budget. But let me tell you something. The mermaid sketch, you were very funny.
Oh.
You're very, very funny. There's a lot of buzz in the office about it. And you know, I'd like to see a little more of Alex in this show.
Sure.
Yeah, really? She brings a real feminine, a female energy to the show that it really needs. And, you know, it's much hipper to have a woman in that role anyway. And,
mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, well, yeah, plus she's fresh, she's exciting, you know. Let's face it, she's very sexy.
Is that your thought, or...?
All right, wonderful meeting here.
And I recently watched all of John from Cincinnati.
Oh, you did? Wow.
I did, the David Milch... Mm-hmm. created HBO series that was canceled after one season, mm-hmm. unfortunately. I'm a huge fan of Milch's work. I really like Deadwood, and I'm very excited about Luck, which is going
to
be
I know,
HBO.
I cannot wait to see it.
If they asked you to work on another Milch project, would you do it?
Oh, yeah, you just have to be prepared to put in the time. I mean, because David, David communes with his muse as it happens, so and it's a very fluid, immediate way of... immediate type of filmmaking, so you really never know what you're going to be doing day to day. But having said that, it's what makes it exciting, because it's always interesting, you know, it's always challenging.
What have been, rather than me continuing to just name things you've done, what have been some of your most memorable or favorite experiences in your career?
I think the Sweet Hereafter movie I did with Adam McGoyan about 10 years ago. Also a movie called Exotica that I did with them. A movie called Mao's Last Dancer that I did with Bruce Beresford last year.
Right, yeah, that was a beautiful film.
Yeah, yeah. And I had and Bruce and I are good friends, of course, because we've worked together a couple times, but I think those would be highlights.
And what are you working on next? What cartoon were you doing voiceover work for the other day?
I was doing the voice for The Flaming Sea, which is Conan's alter ego.
I had that.
I didn't want to take the chance. As it is, your landing could have destabilized the entire bridge.
It didn't.
But it could have. We don't yet know the limits of your powers.
Well, maybe you could, you know, help me figure that out.
Batman's got it covered.
Yeah, I know, but...
Flaming Sea. Wait, Arrow, slow down. What's attacking? No, I'm definitely available. Coordinates. Acknowledged. On my way. Sorry. Superboy, duty calls.
I've got a movie coming out with, there's a movie called Cristiata with Andy Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out soon. And I've just done a pilot for a series for ABC.
Bruce Greenwood, I very much enjoy your work. I hope that you get to keep working as long as you want to.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Oh, you bet. It was fun.
Bruce Greenwood stars as Stephen Meek in Kelly Reichardt's new film, Meek's Cutoff, which opens at Spectrum 8 Theaters in Albany, New York on Friday, June 10th. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.